The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or ray@rte.ie, and I'm coming to an email we got into that address. This time last year, you might remember, we dedicated a programme to youth mental health. We spoke to 16-year-old Megan and 17-year-old Jack about mental illness and self-harm. Megan's mum Caroline and Jack's mum Siobhan spoke openly about their fight to get access to adequate services for Megan and Jack. And this is a story that's been running and running over the last few years. And the organisations that's at the centre of this is CAMHS. Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. That's what CAM stands for. Well, we got an email in last week from Ruth, and Ruth is on the line. How are you doing, Ruth?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. I'll read your email first and then we'll chat. Is that okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Dear Ray, my daughter is 17 years old and has a diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome and also has severe anxiety disorder. The past year has been a living hell for her and my family. She has been having extremely bad meltdowns, which can turn violent because she doesn't know how to deal with her emotions. Anxiety has taken over her life and has stopped her from doing ordinary everyday things. She has missed so much school because of this, and this adds to her worries and anxiety. When she is very unwell, she doesn't sleep for days at a time and doesn't eat. She also self-harms and talks about taking her own life. She feels we would all be better off without her, which of course is not the case. Myself and my husband have tried to get help and support for our daughter in every way possible, but there has been virtually nothing there for us. My GP has been very supportive and also very frustrated by the lack of supports available to us. We have ended up in the A&E department so many times pleading for help, only to be told that there is nothing they could do as our daughter is between services because of her age. We have had the police at our house in desperation that they could help us, though very supportive and understanding of the situation, there was nothing they could do. We have no private healthcare, but borrowed money to get our daughter seen privately by a psychiatrist. A few weeks ago, our GP contacted CAMHS and explained how serious the situation was with my daughter. I wasn't feeling very positive about this, as they have been contacted a few times in the past year and have offered us nothing. My GP told them how urgent it was. CAM said it was not an urgent referral, as our daughter is not actively suicidal. And that's an important sentence there. Even though she's telling us she wants to take her own life. They have said they will see her in June, but we have been given no appointment yet. I, as a mother, feel like I have let my daughter down and haven't been able to get the correct help and support for her. Our mental health services are in a shambles. Whatever happened to prevention? A teenager has to have attempted suicide to be seen by CAMHS. This is totally unacceptable and should be looked at by our Minister for Health. It may be too late to help a teenager after they have attempted to take their own life. We are living in constant fear of what is going to happen next with our daughter. I just felt I had to get in touch to see if any of your listeners had similar experiences and maybe could give me some advice. Kind regards, heartbroken mother, Ruth. So it's been a very tough year. Very tough year. When did you get the original diagnosis, Ruth?
Eve was about 7 or 8, between 7 and 8 years old. We got a diagnosis from CAMHS, actually. And we got the diagnosis of Asperger's syndrome because we just knew there was something, you know, not right, and she was very withdrawn in school, and school had noticed it, and play school had noticed it, but it took time to get her assessed. So since then, really.
And reading around this, children with diagnosis of Asperger's or autism, when they go into the secondary school environment, it has sort of knock-on effects to their mental health.
Yeah, huge, Ray, because any change to anyone that has Asperger's syndrome, you know, their routine is everything to them. And structure and, you know, every day, you know, is mapped out for them. So, like, going on to secondary school, new teachers, a new environment, you know, new curriculum, moving around classrooms, it's huge. It's just, it's unbearable for most, you know, young teenagers.
And when did your daughter develop then the severe anxiety disorder? When was that diagnosed?
That was diagnosed, I would say, about 2 years ago.
Right.
About two years ago.
So she's around 15.
Yeah. She's always suffered with anxiety. You know, it kind of comes a lot with the Asperger's, the anxiety of what's happening next, you know, what if things change. But it really, really got bad about 2 years ago. Mm. And it just paralyzes her when she's overcome with anxiety. It just literally stops her from living. It really does.
So your GP sounds like they're very supportive.
I'd be lost without my GP. She's been so amazing and supportive and has tried her best for us, really has.
Yeah. So your interaction with CAMHS then, Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, talk us through that.
Yeah, well, Eve did attend them, as I said, when she was diagnosed, when she was in primary school. And she did attend them for a while in James Joyce Street, and they ran some courses, which were very helpful, I have to say, you know, in helping with, you know, change in her life and what's happening next. And Eve actually quite enjoyed going to CAMHS. But unfortunately, you know, you only go for so long and then you're on your own, really. But in the past year, because we've had such a year, it's been a whole year, the Beaumont Hospital contacted CAMHS last year, and I got a letter to say that because they felt it wasn't a mental health issue, that it was her Asperger's, that they wouldn't be taking it any further and they wouldn't be offering us an appointment. So I just felt so devastated, you know, that, okay, you know, we asked for help and we just couldn't get it then.
So explain that to me. They reckon that her anxiety wasn't bad enough, is that it?
Yeah, it wasn't a mental health issue. It was to do with her Asperger's, which is totally contradictable. I mean, people with Asperger's can suffer with anxiety, which is Eve has a diagnosis of, and it does affect her mental health hugely.
Yeah, and my reading around it is that it sort of, for a lot of people, goes hand in hand because of what we've outlined. Especially going into secondary school, you know, all these things happen and it becomes too much and the anxiety comes to the surface. And like, your email is so heartbreaking. Like, it sounds like you're on suicide watch, Ruth.
Yeah. We just don't know what's coming next, you know. And even when I was listening to you reading out the email, I'm like reliving every word of that email again. It's just so difficult, and you're frightened. I'm the type of person that I would class myself as a fairly strong person over the years, but this, it just terrifies me because it's completely out of my control. You know, that there is no services out there to help, you know, my child, who I always thought I would be able to protect and look after, and now she's crying out for help and I can't get her that help, you know.
And you've tried the private route. So you went to St. Pat's and you looked into treatment there. What quote did you get? How much would that cost?
Yeah, well, the private psychologist referred us to St. Pat's, and they rang me and they said, you know, we have a referral here from your psychiatrist. And I said, yeah. And I said, how much, you know, would it cost? And the person on the phone said, do you have private healthcare? And I said, no. And they said, well, do you know actually how much it costs? €27,500 I would have to pay up front before they would, you know, look at Eve, you know, take her in as an inpatient. And there was no way, I mean, that we had that kind of money to give. If I had, I would have, you know, but...
And how does it feel as a parent knowing that was available if you had the money? That must be heartbreaking.
Yeah, devastating. You know, I feel, myself, my husband feels so helpless. And, you know, as I said in the email, I just feel I've let Eve down. You know, we've let her down.
Well, no, you haven't. I think the state have let her down. Like, we know it's 21st century. We're a very prosperous country. We should be able to take care of the most vulnerable. And it sounds like your daughter is one of those most vulnerable. And we can't as a state, obviously.
No.
Have you been in contact with the HSE, Department of Health, any of those institutions?
No, to be honest with you, Ray, no. It's in the past 2 weeks, it's kind of settled down a little bit, and I've just kind of got my strength back again a bit because I was just so, you know, so exhausted, so drained. You lose your willpower, you lose your spirit of, you know, fighting for your child. You lose that because you're just getting knocked back each time, you know? So I'm kind of just getting back my strength again to say, hang on a minute here, you know, something has to be done. You know, my daughter and everybody else's son or daughter, you know, they have to be looked after. They need support. They need the services.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do it on our own. You know, we just can't. It's unbearable for my daughter, and it's unbearable for us to watch. You know, it's literally like I'm losing my daughter in front of my eyes. I'm looking at my daughter and she's crying out for help and I can't help her.
And is she aggressive, Ruth?
She can be, but only because, you know, usually she would be the most, you know, placid, you know, the pleasant young girl, very quiet, but it's with her emotions, not being able to control her emotions and her thoughts and her feelings and trying to express that. That's when it comes out. That's when the anger would come out.
We got on to Minister Daly's office, and he's the minister with the responsibility for mental health in the country. And his statement reads as follows: enhancement of the specialist CAM service, including improved access and reducing waiting lists, remains a priority for government. Budget 2019 provided an extra 55 million to progress new developments in mental health. That's the total mental health budget, including CAMs, and overall HSE mental health funding is now nearly 1 billion. Young people with moderate to severe mental health difficulties are referred to specialist mental health services by primary care practitioners. CAMs provide mental health service to those aged up to 18 years who have reached a clinical assessed threshold for a diagnosis of moderate to severe mental health disorders that require the input of a multidisciplinary mental health team. Are you getting all that now?
Yeah.
So it's a threshold for a diagnosis of moderate to severe mental health. It sounds like Eve would reach that threshold.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A child with Asperger's syndrome can access CAMS if clinically assessed as requiring CAMS. As of March 2019, around 80% of young people were offered a first appointment within 12 weeks in community CAM settings. Case complexity has increased over recent years as improved admission pathways have been introduced. Urgent cases are seen as a matter of priority. And it says that Minister Daly regularly meets HSE to review CAMS and recently wrote to the HSE in relation to recruitment and retention issues with a view to improving staffing levels with CAMS teams nationally. I remember reading an article about 2 years ago, and they were really short-staffed. They were trying to fill 80 vacancies at that point, and it sounds from that statement that they're still trying to fill those. There's a waiting list as of the end of March of 2,738 children and adolescents on the CAMS waiting list nationally. What would you like to see happen, Ruth?
What I would like to see happen is that, I mean, firstly, I would like Eve to be seen, you know, as an urgent referral, because my GP has stated it's an urgent referral, and I've explained to CAMS that it's an urgent referral. And I was quite devastated by the person on the phone in CAMS that said to me, "I find that hard to believe that you've been asking for help the past year." Yeah, that's what I was told on the phone. I find that hard to believe. You know, yeah. I would like Eve to be seen. And also, there needs to be some kind of an emergency, you know, a crisis centre that you can bring teenagers to.
Yes.
I mean, like, we had to go to Beaumont 6 times and left in the corner of the casualty, which is not a place for a teenager, you know.
And when you were there, was there a psychiatric nurse there? Do you know?
We had to wait, and we seen the adult, the psychiatric person on the team.
Nice.
But basically, there was nothing they could do because Eve is between services, and there would be a lot of, they said, you know, issues on their part. They could never admit her to an adult psychiatric unit at the moment.
Well, it'd be completely inappropriate if she was admitted to an adult unit.
Absolutely.
Will was watching a documentary there. Last week was Mental Health Week in Great Britain, and the BBC did a number of documentaries, but they spoke to an actor. And as part of that documentary, they went to Birmingham, and they have this unit. It's a mobile unit that goes out with a psychiatric professional, a member of the police force, and somebody else. And if there is a certain emergency in the locality, they go and they bring the treatment to them rather than waiting for them to come to a hospital or an A&E or whatever. And you know that the vision for you, have you heard of the Vision for Change, Ruth?
No.
Well, that was a document written about 15 years ago that laid out the way the mental health services should work in Ireland. And everybody said it was a very good document and it was supposed to be the blueprint for what happened in the next 10 years. Unfortunately, it hasn't happened. Part of it was that each community would have a mental health team, community mental health teams, and they will be able to go into your house once a week or whatever and talk to Eve and make sure that everything was okay. You know, so they would be out in the community rather than you saying, having to go to A&E or whatever. That it never happened. And it strikes me that CAMHS are really stretched, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm sure, you know, the staff at CAMHS are trying their utmost best. They're professionals, but there's not enough of them, and there's not enough. They can't retain the staff, and there are shortages.
Yeah.
So this is what's backlashing on Eve and other teenagers as well.
Listening to this lady, my daughter has been out of school for 4 years with EUPD and chronic anxiety, same as that in A&E because she's 17, has been inpatient 3 times, 4 overdoses, self-harm. This girl is not alone and neither are her parents. No staff in CAMHS take care, says Rose. And there are many teenagers with Asperger's and ASD, particularly in the age 15 to 17 age bracket, who cannot access services. CAMHS tends to use a diagnosis of autism as an excuse for not dealing with our children. With ASD and who have mental health issues. Basically, they are in limbo, says Carl. And this sounds so like Millie Toomey's story, which is a tragic story. Please allow this lady contact Fiona, mother of Millie. She could help. And you know, Fiona has set up an organisation, so it might be worth your while to contact Fiona. It's exactly the same situation in Cork. I think children with disabilities are completely abandoned by the state. And somebody else says, I can really empathise with the caller. Slightly different situation. My daughter's 17 and was waiting to see CAMHS for 2 years, then took an overdose and was seen. You see, and that's, you say that in your email. Actively, you have to be actively suicidal.
Yeah.
They've been great, but are so stretched. She only gets to see someone once every 6 weeks. She has been referred for an ASD assessment when she... What does ASD stand for? Assessment when she was 9... which is 9, which still has not been done, and we were told just last week that she will not get a diagnosis before she's 18, as waiting list is too long. She's just finishing fifth year and has had no help or support in school, as she has no piece of paper. Now we will have to try and go private for assessment, but it's so expensive. I had to give up work to stay with her, as she can't be left alone. I feel like a complete failure as a mother.
Yeah, I can empathise with that lady.
Autism spectrum disorder, is ASD. My heart goes out to Ruth and family. Tusla only pay lip service to families in distress. It's shameful. CAMHS is totally underfunded, as are all mental health services. Can they, in government, not see the value of early intervention in the long run? Only word for it is shameful, says Liam. It's...
I mean, I'd be lost, Ray, with I've really good neighbours, Debbie and Liam next door, and they're so helpful, and it's such a comfort to us to know that our neighbours are there for us. I mean, our neighbours who have their own lives to live, but will always take the time to help us.
How do they help you out, Ruth?
Oh, they help us out by, you know, Eve will go into them, and Debbie is a youth worker, so Debbie will talk to Eve, and she will try and rationalise Eve and reassure her, and the same with our husband, who's very good at her. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago when things got really, really bad, she brought her out for a drive just to give myself and my husband 10 minutes just to catch our breath, you know. And without these people, we'd be absolutely lost, you know.
It seems like you're falling between the cracks because, you know, it says as at the end of last year, almost 80% of referrals nationally were offered an appointment within 12 weeks. And there is an appointment promised in June.
There is, yeah, I have been told. No, I've no letter and I've no date. And I did contact them last week to ask, and they said it should be the first 2 weeks in June. And I really, really hope we are seen, and I really hope it will be ongoing, because Eve will be going into sixth year and she's missed so much school, and she has a right, like everybody else, to finish school, to be able to go to school with the right support. Her school has been fantastic, above and beyond what they should be doing. Her school has been amazing. And without them too, we'd be lost. But there's no other help for us. And it's the feeling of being so desperate and it's so lonely. You feel so lonely that you're on your own, you know, and it's just so hard. so hard, Ray.
Well, the only bit of consolation is that you're not on your own, and that's sort of good for you, but sad as well, because there are other people in your situation out there. And we put you in contact with Fiona Toomey, because she's been through this before, and she has set up an organisation, so she will give you some support. And we hope by highlighting, you know, you and Eve's story on air, that something will happen. But we've done it before and nothing has happened. But let's hope things are changing for the better.
Yeah, I hope so, Ray. And thanks very much.
No. And mind yourself and mind Eve. And mind yourself, Ruth. Bye now.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.